After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Five on the Floor podcast. This is Ethan Skolnick coming to you as I am all week from Las Vegas here at NBA Summer League. We are going to be doing podcasts here all week long. Make sure you check out the one I just did with Nekias Duncan, where after hating the Tyler Herro pick, he's now declared Tyler Herro a starter for this upcoming season. But before I get to my next guest, I want to tell you about the sponsor of this episode. That's Magic City Casino. We're really excited for the High at Magic City this summer. That's the High, J-A-I, not H-I-G-H. The High is putting a brand new spin on a classic Miami experience featuring unbeatable drink specials, a live DJ, indoor lawn game area, live highlight, and so much more, which includes me and Alf going out in there and doing podcasts during the season. The High is going to be Miami's newest hotspot on Friday and Saturday nights. Mark your calendars to live the High life. That's starting on July 19th. All right. As I mentioned, I'm here in Las Vegas. We're going to be pumping out podcasts all week long. Right now, we're sort of in the back area in the Thomas and Mack Center. I keep finding, Evan, like, unique places to tape. Yesterday, I was going to tape at the exact moment that the earthquake hit.
Oh, that's always good.
Now, did you, by the way,
I wasn't here yet.
No, I was going to say, we're speaking to Evan Cohen. Evan, as you may know, works for a bunch of different places, but one of those is ESPN West Palm. He's been on the podcast before. I kind of call him sort of the only sports radio talk show host in America who actually understands the salary cap, and certainly the only one in South Florida who understands the salary cap. But you're out here for a few days. Who are you working for out here?
So Good Karma Brands, our station, ESPN West Palm, obviously doing stuff for that. But I'm also doing shows on NBA Radio on Sirius XM, in addition to Mad Dog Sports Radio. So all my normal stuff, which is not that normal.
No, not that normal. All over the place. But like I said, the one guy who knows the cap. And so as we're talking to you here, it's kind of mid-afternoon Vegas time, a little bit later on the East Coast. And last night was chaotic, and not just because of the earthquake, but you had the Kawhi decision. Paul George goes with him. Everything else can kind of move now. The Heat were in a little bit of a holding pattern at this stage. But since then, the Lakers have signed Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins to the minimum. So they've already sort of used up their cap space. They're not an option for Goran Dragic anymore. We thought that they might be. And so now we're looking at what the Heat can do. And the first thing that I tweeted yesterday after this happened was, should the Heat go get Russ? Because that is, you don't need inside information to know the tendencies of the organization, okay? When Pat just put out a statement saying that Jimmy Butler was the newest member of the Miami Heat, and he said whenever there's a four-time All-Star, you have to go out there and get them. Russ has made more than four All-Star games.
Double that,
right? They went after DeMarcus Cousins, who made four All-Star games, but he decided to take the minimum to chase a ring in L.A. Let's go through some of the permutations here. First, would you go after Russ? Would you go after Bradley Beal? And then how do those two things happen if you would?
Yeah, so I would do both in theory if you could. I think there's, like, if we can just...
What do you mean both in theory? Both together?
No. I'm saying that you simultaneously have to attack both as if you can get both one or none. I mean, that's just how you would operate any business. I think let's just go back for one thing. If you look at how the whole Kawhi thing went down, the Heat played a huge role in this.
Yes.
And I think people have missed this part. So for whatever reason, Dallas has decided to keep this cap space open. I'm still not exactly sure as to why, if they think they're going to pick up first-round picks as a result of a salary dump, which we haven't heard them do. But in theory, what happens if Dallas agrees to the initial deal and Goran goes to Dallas, and then as a result, the Heat 2021 pick does not go to the Clippers, and then the Clippers don't have this astronomical number of picks to send to Oklahoma City. They have the Anthony Davis deal. But I don't know that Oklahoma City necessarily wanted the Anthony Davis deal. They may have wanted more than that. So if it's interesting, if the Jimmy Butler trade worked out differently, then who knows if the Kawhi thing happens. So a lot of people are saying, well, the Heat have nothing to give up in terms of the Russ trade. So the one thing that I've looked at that I think is interesting, if I'm not mistaken, one of the two Heat picks that convey to Oklahoma City is protected through 1 through 14.
That's correct.
So theoretically, isn't it just like another draft pick if the Heat were to loosen the protection on that? Because that's a deal that obviously they made with the Clippers that was then conveyed to Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. So if the 1 through 14 becomes either unprotected or 1 through 5, then Oklahoma City may not be as worried about whether or not the Heat's good now or good later, whatever it may be. They have an unprotected first-round pick. So the Heat, in theory, could give Oklahoma City the same pick that they already have, but a better option for that pick. And I think that, I mean, you and I have discussed this. I think that that's kind of been missed here. If I'm not mistaken, you can do that.
Yes.
And if you can, then that's kind of like giving – that's the only team they could do that with.
Right. And here's the other thing. Well, I think before we, again, move to the Washington situation, we have to establish whether Russell Westbrook is a positive asset or a negative asset at this point. Because I'm getting this on my feed, and this is the same thing I was getting during the Butler stuff. And everybody was like, you're going to have to give up two kids. And I'm like, no, you're not. They're not in a position of leverage. Philadelphia was not in a position of leverage. And now when you look back at that trade and you say, okay, Jimmy Butler is not Paul George, all right? He's not quite Paul George. And he's obviously, he's older. He's got, look, they both have injury histories, different kinds, okay? Paul George had a more sort of traumatic injury. With Butler, it's more wear and tear that you're worried about.
Right.
But when you look at what the Clippers had to give up, and again, I know different situations and every circumstance is different, but they gave up six draft picks and two really good players, including one who has extraordinarily high upside, in my view. And compare that to the Heat, who, to get Jimmy Butler, gave up one good player, one protected pick, and a contract and a player they needed to get out of the locker room. So I think the Heat have made out really well at this stage.
I agree.
Okay, I think they've had an A-plus offseason thus far. And I'm not one to easily say that because I gave them a D for 2016 and 2017.
Understandably so.
Okay, but in your view, because I'm getting this from people, you're going to have to give up Justice, and you're going to have to give up Bam, and that's under the assumption that you're getting a Russell Westbrook who is entering his prime, okay, which is not accurate, a Russell Westbrook who is not dinged up in terms of his reputation, which is not accurate, and also a Russell Westbrook who's paid a small amount of money, which is also not accurate. Right. Is Russ a player that Oklahoma City is going to have to give up something to get rid of?
I don't think that. Okay. I don't think that. But I think that when you look at the Heat right now, they could look at it three different ways off of these permutations. So either straight deal for Russell Westbrook, straight deal for Bradley Beal. That's the one that Bam and Justice are no longer on the team, and Tyler Herro. No, none of those are on the team. If you're just straight deal for Bradley Beal, or the Beal-Wall combination.
Okay.
Which may actually be the best of the bunch, because then you're hedging your bet.
Yeah.
So if you're basically saying that, let's just play this out, and I know this is not fair, but let's say Wall and Russ are the same. Bad contract. One you're either trying to get healthy, the other one you're trying to prevent from getting hurt and maybe changing his ways a little bit.
Right.
And maybe disrupting the apple cart a little bit with Jimmy Butler, who came here to be the guy.
Right.
And then Russ wants to be the guy. But I believe Coach Borch.
But I sort of feel like with those two, and I want you to move on with this, but I sort of feel like with those two, everybody says nobody wants to play with either. And I almost think it might work if they play together.
Right. If you multiply a negative times a negative, it's a positive. Right. We learned that in like fifth grade. I can't believe I remembered that, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Is that
fifth
true?
Grade, fifth grade was less time ago for you than it was for me.
That's true. Yeah, you are an old man. I'm just an oldish man. So I don't know. I think you kind of go through all of it. Maybe the John Wall, Bradley Beal one makes the most sense. Because then if you spin it positively, then you have a 1-2-3.
Yeah. Well,
but you do have to give up Bam and Justice.
And here, well, the Bam thing has been a non-starter for them. But what I would say about Wall is this, and I made this point on Twitter today. I am an old man, and so the first year that I covered the Heat was the year that on, you know, trade deadline day, Riley made three trades, five players, and brought in Tim Hardaway. And people just think of Tim now as this guy who was the point guard on a contending team in the Eastern Conference that, if not for the Knicks and the Bulls, would have been in the finals.
Right, you forget about the Golden State.
And they forget about he was playing behind B.J. freaking Armstrong. And not B.J. Armstrong in Chicago, but B.J. Armstrong later on. Okay, he was playing behind B.J. Armstrong in Golden State. People are like, okay, well, you got Wall coming off this injury. Wall and Tim Hardaway exactly the same age as when the Heat made the trade for Hardaway. And everybody's like, well, Wall's coming off an Achilles. It's the most debilitating injury for a player who relies on explosiveness. Absolutely true. At the time, though, go back 23, 24 years, ACL tears were considered debilitating injuries.
Yeah, for sure.
Not like they are today. And Tim was a guy who relied, not above the rim, but relied on explosiveness to get to the basket, the crossover and all that. He comes to Miami, and he becomes at times, the most important player on that team. Okay, there were years and there were series where Tim was the guy, even more so than Zoe, that made them go. He was sort of, Zoe was kind of the heart of the team, then Timmy was the soul, okay? And they have experience with this. And what I say is everything with the Heat repeats itself. Everything. Riley is a creature of habit.
Zoe Shaq.
He does the same thing. He goes after deflated assets, okay? And that's what he does. And he's done it again now with Jimmy Butler. I just talked to some people in Philly who said they couldn't wait to get the hell rid of him. Okay, so these are things they need to deal with. But I'm coming around on the Wall Beal situation.
Yeah. That's the one that I look at and I say, I think John Wall, and remember, John Wall was considering the University of Miami.
Yes.
Years ago. Now, there may have been some alternative motives for that at that time, but whatever
also,
it may be.
There are two college coaches that Pat Riley seems to revere.
Yeah.
Coach K and Calipari.
Yeah, and that's why I think that there is something to that, and I also think you hedge your bet. Like, what's the hedge on the Russell Westbrook thing?
Well, because you're not getting Bradley Beal. And right. Here's the other thing. I think people are not...
Oh, by the way, I had a third college coach that he loves.
Which one?
Billy Donovan.
Right, and that's Bradley Beal. Right, yeah. That's Bradley Beal. Right.
And, I mean, Frank Martin, Frank Martin could get in the mix then you're in good shape.
Well, the Beasley thing didn't work out so well, but Randy Fudd's no longer with the team. But Bradley Beal, I think also that there are some who are not really understanding the level that he got to this past season.
Yeah, but that's also because he was on a bad team.
He was on a bad team, but his efficiency did not decline to any significant extent. I think he still shot 36% from three, but on very high volume, 82 games, leads the league in minutes per game, gives you 25-5-5, which just context on that, Dwayne Wade has done that, did that twice. And now he was close a couple of other times. Okay, right. It's kind of like when you're sort of close to that whole thing, 90 at the line, 50-40-90, and like Steph has been right, Steve Nash were right around it a bunch of times.
I mean, I'm not going to put Bradley Beal over D. Wade, but I think that, here's my mentality with the Heat right now. So as you know, without getting too specific, I'm close with a lot of people with the Bucks.
Right.
Okay? And the conversation I've had with them is, and this is over the last 24 hours, is like, this is yours. Like,
right.
You got to go for this now. And they're all on board. And they all think it's great and everything like that. But, like, that's one team that knows they're going to be good. Philly, we assume, is going to be good.
Right.
Boston, we assume, is
going to be good. I don't know about that one. But I'm not even giving you Boston.
Fine. But okay. We know that Milwaukee's going to be good.
Milwaukee is the only one in the Eastern Conference that I think you can. And they lost something. They lost Brogdon.
I agree.
Okay.
I would trade for Iguodala if I'm there. You can trade John Lowe, Dante DiVincenzo, and DJ Wilson right now.
I think he's a great fit for them. I agree. And he's still playing at a high level.
And watch Korver there.
Korver makes sense, too, if he does well. L.A., he can still end up there on a minimum.
Yeah, but remember, where did he have his best year? Atlanta.
Right, that's true.
Keep an eye on
Bud loves him. But if they're the only team in the Eastern Conference that, to me, you pencil in for 55. And you look at the East and the West right now, and you're talking 20 years since the 8th seed in the West has had a worse record than the 8th seed in the East. This is the most skewed it's ever been this season. I was going through it right now. There are 11 teams in the Western Conference that you can make a case for 45 wins. Now, some of them are just because with Pop, I just pencil in 45.
Right.
Even if the roster doesn't justify it.
And Marcus Morris today is a nice little pickup for them.
Absolutely. Okay.
What about the non-names that you brought up? So, I mean, the sexy ones, obviously, are when you're going for broke, you're thinking about Westbrook,
right,
as they should.
Yeah.
You're thinking about Beal, and obviously you would take on Wall. What about looking at Toronto? What about
Kyle Lowry?
I mean, what about that hype? Now, do I want to give up Justice? No, I don't. Justice,
right.
And you're talking about Justice at 13 and Gorin at 19.
Right.
And it's an even swap for Kyle Lowry. You're probably upgrading the point guard position. You bring in championship mentality. I don't want to get rid of Justice, but it cleans it up maybe a little bit in terms of the point guard.
Right.
I think the Heat should start looking at some of these other guys as well. Because I think there's something interesting about the Gorin thing. Gorin is a former All-Star player, and I still don't understand why Dallas did not want him. It doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
And maybe there is a revisiting of that. But I think part of the Heat keeping him right now is he has such a big number and expiring deal that would allow them to do something else.
Right.
So the idea of a salary dump, which Dallas is the only team they could do it with right now, if I'm not mistaken, unless Atlanta trades out $5 million worth of contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta's good. Like, I don't know if you want to give them Gorin
right
now.
Right. Atlanta's a playoff team with the right vet. In the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and I just think that, like, if you're my pitch for Toronto and why I think you could look at some of these Toronto guys is I would trade off some of these assets, Lowry, Ibaka, and Gasol, all expiring, and then what I would do is I would sign Vince Carter to mask the whole thing, to basically have what would he
to be the Dwayne, to be the squirrel.
Yeah,
right.
To get you from the net 1 year to the next,
right,
championship year to the rebuild year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just think you've got to start looking at those guys, too, because I think right now the Heat are in a position where if they don't get Wall, or Beal, and then take on Wall, and if they don't get Westbrook, which I understand why they go on it, I think you have to,
right,
but I'd start looking at some of these other guys, because I'm on board with what you're saying. Like, I just don't believe that they're done, because I think, unlike in years past, this is not a convince themselves they can compete. This is, if you add one more guy with one of the two young guys, you can compete.
They've also done, look, this organization's also done this before. They bring in the guy and everybody's like, well, how quickly will it come together? And people look at the Big Three team and say 9-8, and obviously there was a struggle, and then you made the run to get to the finals. But I look at the Shaq year, the first year, and Jimmy Butler's not Shaq. But this organization is used to bringing in a guy and figuring out the pieces around him. And I think what you look at right now is they've got 4 to 6 really interesting young pieces on this team, okay? I love Goran Dragic, all right? But to me, the only role for Goran going forward is the Dwayne role of last year.
Wait, can I flip this on you for a second? I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
So you explain to me why you and I, you covering the Heat, me covering slash loving them openly as a fan, explain to me why we love Goran but the rest of the league does not.
It's odd. Well, first, his defense declined last year. I think that's pretty clear.
Now, but he's also willing to come off the bench.
He's
on the right team.
He's kind of willing. Like last year, I remember when he came back and I was there at that game in the locker room, and he said, well, when I'm healthy, I still think he wants to be a starter. And look, he can start on a lot of teams still and still be an effective player, but I've always thought Goran's ultimate role long term was combo guard off the bench, okay? Somebody who can give you scoring and can get his own. That's the other thing. The thing about Goran is he's never been a traditional 7, 8, 9 assist point guard, because typically when he's creating, it's not because he's selfish, it's just the way that he goes about creating. He creates for himself. I think the problem for the Heat right now is that Goran is a little bit of a progress stopper for Justice. If they're going to be on the floor together, this team is going to revert back to the way they did when Goran was on the floor with Dwayne, and it was the opposite, where it reverts back to the ball in Dwayne's hands all the time. And especially if you still have Waiters on the roster, and that is, you know, that to me, that's problematic. The last thing that they have this
right
kind
now
of
problem. Right now he's going to be, because they don't have anything to
give up. They don't have anything. So if he's going to be there, all right, then you basically have, look, the Goran Waiters backcourt works so well in the 30-11 stretch, but I don't know how well it works right now.
Okay, we got to stop that, though. The 30-11 thing
is over. Yeah.
I went to an astronomical amount of games home and road that year. Right. I don't know why I did. Right. I was almost like a pride thing. Like, I wanted this franchise to be good. And it was so much fun to watch. But, like, it was so bad for the team looking back on it. We all got duped. I will give credit. Jeremy Marsh-Pell, champion our station, never got duped. He's like, this is ridiculous. They should sign Jeff Green. And I think we talked about this.
We talked about it. They could have signed Jeff Green and Tyreek Evans, you know, may he rest in peace. But they could have signed Jeff Green. They could have signed Jeff Green.
You just did a rest in peace for a guy who's alive.
Well, he's rested he's rested in peace for his NBA career. But I you know, Jeff, we talked about this. I don't want to rehash it.
We did a pod on this.
But if they signed those guys to 1-year deals, you wouldn't have James Johnson right now, you know, with $15 million in a team option in the fourth season. Look, at the Tyler Johnson contract, they just had to stretch player option. They just had to stretch
team option. Would be a lot better.
That would have, I never understand it. And Pat's explanations for it make less and less sense
every time. But let's talk about him for a second. So I know we're going in circles here, but like this is the point of this. Like, James Johnson on a good team in shape should be a contributor.
I think that's a contract you can sell next year. I don't know that it's one you can sell. I think
here's the other thing with Goran. Sorry to interrupt. So here's where now I'm torn on the Goran thing. Right now I'd absolutely say, all right, trade him and get something back. Let's say they don't and he makes it through this season and you open up the space. Signing him back as a backup on a multi-year late in his career is actually a great thing.
Want them to do.
How do you withstand that temptation of jump? Like, you cannot get Russ and you cannot get Beal without putting Goran in there. He's too valuable to Oklahoma City and Washington. Hey, we're going to still be competitive because this guy can help us win a couple of games, and he's expiring. And he makes $19 million. Like, he's too valuable.
But Washington's still a lottery team with Goran. It doesn't matter.
But at least they're not embarrassing.
Does it matter to them?
I don't know.
It seems to me like they've been – look, the new GM there, it seems like the whole idea has been just clean the space, get rid of all the previous mistakes, which makes sense. They just made the Dwight Howard move. They're going to be bad. But we're getting to this point again with the Eastern and Western conferences where there are so many teams intentionally trying to be bad in the East. Like, Cleveland's not there yet. I think Atlanta has a chance to be. Charlotte is not anywhere. I mean, they're going to sink to the bottom. Who's their best player right now? Who is Charlotte's best player?
They're paying Terry Rozier to be this.
I mean
– Terry Rozier, Malik Monk, Miles Bridges, and PJ Washington.
They're a 60-loss team, right? I mean, the division. Not that divisions matter.
No, Washington.
The Heat are winning the division.
Atlanta may be better.
Well, that would be interesting. I mean, they did beat them every time last year.
Now, that was a lot of the, like, Whiteside games, I feel like. Portland better hope they don't play Orlando at all somehow. Because, my God, is he bad against Switzerland. But, like, so as we look at this team right now, so your whole theme is, You want to do everything in your power to swing again, which I agree with.
They have to.
You don't want to give up Bam if you don't have to.
Right, that's my thing. To me,
but you're willing to give up Justice?
Yes, and I like Justice a lot. Okay,
see, I'm not as excited to give up Justice, but just because of the fact that they're like, I can't get out of my head that in a perfect world for this team this year, he should be their starting point guard.
They
I
should
can't get out of my head that he started at center in the playoffs.
I love Justice Winslow.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handles, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So I think he's been.
He and Butler.
I'm going to be incredible, and I think he's been very. And I think if DJJ gets where I think he can get to defensively, but look, I'm a big Justice fan, and I wish that they would have said this offseason, you're the point guard and go with it. I know why they couldn't, because they still have Goran in the picture. He needs to be empowered with confidence, because when he gets confidence from the outside, then it comes from within him. Okay, and you see the stuff like he did to Ben Simmons in the playoffs and all that. I'm a big Justice fan, but if you were to say to me, who is the more unique player? You can find another guy like Justice Winslow. Bam Adebayo, to me, is the perfect attitude, perfect style of big in the modern NBA. He's a guy who doesn't demand the ball, runs the floor, switches, can handle a little bit, is going to develop in their system, in their program. He's going to develop into an 18-foot and beyond jump shooter. His attitude, again, when you talk to people inside the organization, they love him. Justice has a great attitude also. But I just think in terms of uniqueness of the player, Bam is going to be harder. It's harder to find the Bam player than it is to find the Justice player. You can find really capable wings who can handle the ball, all right, and who can defend. And again, there's nothing against Justice. But I just think when you look at Bam, to me, Bam is that piece that you're like, if you have two stars and that guy, okay, I know that Houston's trying to get rid of Capella right now and they think he's too expensive, but to me, Bam's going to be a much better version of Clint Capella.
I agree.
And so I don't think he's bouncier. And it's just, there's nothing that I look at with him on the floor and I say he's not going to learn how to do that. Like, what is the limitation on him?
Okay, but here's the other thing, though. So, like, and again, push comes to shove, you have to give these guys up. But Justice Winslow, like, is now a shooter. Like, he's become a shooter.
38% the last 2 years, and on twice the volume last year as the year before. I mean, I get it. But you don't have to sell me on Justice.
No, I know.
I'm just
so
saying.
Here, let me say on this. What I would do today, if they started the season today, mm-hmm. which obviously is always a great hypothetical, as we're sitting at the summer league, to me, and I understand this doesn't fit perfectly, and Nikias will probably rip me for saying this, who knows all the ins and outs of the X's and O's.
Nikias hated the Bam draft pick.
Well, okay. He also did fire Riley, didn't he?
Right.
So to me, what I would do is, this would be my starting lineup if they earned these spots. It would be Justice, Tyler Harrell, Jimmy Butler, Derrick Jones Jr., and Bam. That's it. I don't care.
Nikias went with Kelly instead of Derrick Jones
Jr.
Yeah,
everybody does. But why? because he stretches more. Like,
because you want, because until Bam develops into a stretch, you probably need a stretch near him. I also think
I just play defense, just all five of those guys.
Well, look, that's what the Clippers are going to do, right? Except that those guys are also really good on the other end.
Right.
But I, to me, the thing that Kelly gives you, I think we've forgotten, and I know we don't want to talk about 30-11, but I think we've forgotten a little bit about what Kelly can provide when he's used properly. And he was not used properly last year. They tell me it was not about the minutes. Myers Leonard can do some of the things Kelly can do, but he can't do some of the others. Like, yes, Myers Leonard's three-point shooting probably going to double in volume this year under Spo. But the thing, the difference between the two of them is, and I haven't seen enough of Myers Leonard to know, but just talking to people who covered him in Portland, the dribble handoff stuff, some of the sort of running the offense through him, Kelly is sort of uniquely special in that.
I know, he runs a run-pass option. I've said that about him. Like, I would compare it to literally, like, at the best of Kaepernick, and I don't mean that politically, although I'm all for him.
Right.
But I'm saying that Kaepernick...
It's an NBA pod, you can
right,
say
but
that.
But I'm saying that...
our audience, you know, is different.
His run-pass option was beautiful. Like, you don't know where the ball is going, and that's what Kelly Olynyk does. We should hit on this, though. So, you love Bam, I love Bam. We both think that there could be roles, if not moved, for Olynyk and Leonard, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we go about explaining the fact that when Adrian Wojnarowski tweets today that the Heat basically finished in second place for DeMarcus Cousins, you tell me what his role would be if they got him. Like, how are we ignoring that?
Well, would there have been another move?
Okay, but I'm...
But if you have Cousins, then maybe you are moving Bam to Washington, right?
Maybe you're moving Bam to the four.
Well, that's also an option. Right, that's also an option. But look, and maybe Kelly's money played into it somewhere, okay? Because Kelly's money is not outrageous. And you know, again, I know you got the extra year on it, but I think all of that does play into it a little bit because, look, they liked Cousins. It's obvious. Okay, my guess is they offered him more.
I don't think they can.
Oh, they count.
3.5.
3.5. Okay, but
he ended up getting more than the minimum.
Oh,
he would not have had that.
Okay, so they wouldn't have quite. Okay, that's true. But there was no surprise they went after Cousins. Also, again, we're talking about the same program that they're all coming out of, and they've had long had a fascination with Cousins. But I want to get back real quick before we close here because I'm with you. I think Harrow's going to be the starter at the two. Also, I think if they see enough that they're going to do that,
I wouldn't rule out him playing point.
It's not going to. I think he's going to play some because I think the thing I've seen from him in summer league so far, and I saw it here yesterday. He loves to push in transition. And I was talking to Nunn about that, who I like a lot also. I was talking to Kendrick Nunn, and he's saying he's forcing me to get out and go on the break. So this is a team that's going to try to run a little bit more, and I think they need to do that. And we've also seen Goran always used to want to push, and the last couple of years he hasn't wanted to push quite so much, which is natural. He's in his 30s. But I want to get back real quick one last time to Wall and Westbrook as players, okay? I have always felt that John Wall's gotten Bradley Beal. I love. Okay, I think he's the second best two guard in the league right now. Okay, I mean, again,
I'd
be trying Harden. Well, because Clay's not healthy. So right now, if Clay's healthy after those two, I think he's right there. But the thing about John Wall is, I've always felt he got a bad rap because he came into the league first as number one overall pick, the first ever team he was put on. This was the rest of the starting five: Andre Blatch, JaVale McGee, Jordan Crawford, and Nick Young.
Character guys. Culture.
Name the quality veteran that they've had in Washington during his time there.
Trevor Ariza, Paul Pierce.
Okay. Pierce for 1 year.
And Ariza.
And ended up taking all the shots. And Ariza. Okay?
Yeah. No, I understand that.
They've never given him anybody.
I literally have no worries about him in the Heat system.
None. Well, what about from a physical standpoint?
Well, that's part of it in that, like, if he's going to get back to a certain point, that would be the point that, like, I think they would have a better chance with that team as anything else. I mean, I just do. I think that's obvious. Like, that franchise would do better with that. And I don't know why. I'm just not scared off by Wall. And my whole thing is, like, if they're going to get superstar caliber players, how are they going to get them and what free agents are going to sign there? Now, if you want to just wait it out till 2021.
Because you have to, because 2020, I was looking at that list again today,
terrible.
Man. It's awful. It's one of the worst lists I've seen in recent NBA history.
Right. So, you know, it is interesting because sometimes I go around and I say, like, all right, so in my head, not now because of Jimmy Butler, like before the Jimmy Butler, when it felt like there were no man's land, I'm like, would you trade James Johnson and Deion Waiters for Andrew Wiggins?
Right.
Right? And I think Minnesota actually would do that, which is why you probably wouldn't if you're Miami.
Right.
But and obviously now you would. But these are the kind of things that I used to do. Now I kind of look at it a little bit differently because Butler there, I think he probably looks at himself the way that Kawhi was last year in Toronto. Now that may not be right, but I think having Dwayne's blessing, I think that's the other part of this we haven't discussed.
Right.
I think Dwayne is center, like in the center of
Dwayne's
all of this.
Dwayne's still their best recruiter.
Right, and that is a good thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that that, you know, he's in the bench.
And you know who Dwayne loves? Bradley Beal.
Well, he wears his number for him.
Right.
It's, I mean, he has Bradley Beal. He wears Wade's number. He won the Citizenship Award with the league. He played for Billy Donovan.
Oh, no, no. And he's 26.
But they're not.
He's elite at the most depleted position in the NBA right now.
Yes, and I think that, but here's the problem. When you look at Bradley Beal, could you make the argument he is worth more? On his own, not in tandem with Kawhi, he's worth more than Paul George.
Because of age and not the injury history, the durability over the past 2 years, I think you can make that case.
So if you make that case, the only way the Heat have a chance then is by taking on Wall. You cannot sit here and have the conversation about the Heat getting Bradley Beal unless Tyler Herro and Bam Adebayo become All-Stars this year. Mm-hmm. You cannot even have the conversation without Wall.
But if you can keep Bam, to me this is a no-brainer. Like, because to me that
they don't have the assets the other team has.
I know they don't have the I understand that, and they've given up some picks. No, that's true. Look, if you were able to figure it out to get a foursome, okay, of Bam, Butler, Wall, and Beal, that team can win the East when Wall's healthy in 2 years.
I agree.
Okay, and with some of the with the way that they're able to find role guys. All right, let's final thing now, Russ.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one thing before you ask me on Russ.
Okay.
If you're the New York Knicks, which you and I both grew up in a different time when the Knicks were respected.
Yeah.
When the Knicks were...
I grew up rooting for them.
Right. I never did, believe it or not.
Starks was my favorite player until Pat left him in for 2-for-18.
So here's the thing that I would say, or I would ask. If you're the Knicks today, would you say to all the free agents that you signed, we haven't actually signed you yet, sorry.
Just let them walk.
You wouldn't even have to do that. You would have to choose. Do you keep Randall or do you keep everybody else?
Right.
And you offer your picks and you offer the Dallas picks and you get Russell Westbrook right now.
I think if you're New York, and I know you're up there quite a bit, I think if you're New York, you have to do it because there's no other way to get anything done for them at this point.
I was tweeting back and forth with Nick Wright, who's on Mad Dog, the same channel I'm on, in the mornings. And he said, well, that would be poison with the agents. And I'm like, well, that's not like they're serving lemonade right now to the agents. No agent wants to bring their players there. So what's the difference if you lose out? I'm just saying that's the team that I would keep an eye on with Russ, maybe even more so than Miami. I think the fact that Russ could go to the place that Durant didn't want to go to and go head-to-head with Durant. I also think one other thing that people aren't bringing up, and I do want to talk about the Miami part of it, obviously, is Russ being a little bit fraudulent if he asks you out? He's destroyed everybody else that's wanted to leave. He doesn't want to do it that way. He wants to, you know, stand pat and everything like that and stay with that team. Is he being a little fraudulent if he asks out?
At this point, who cares?
Oh, I don't care.
But I'm just saying, at this point, in terms of his reputation, who cares? I mean, the thing about Russ, whether you like Russ or you don't, and I've never been a big fan of his attitude off the floor. I love it on the floor. But whatever you think of Russ, there's a certain authenticity to him, or there has been about all this stuff. And so
Riley and Spoh probably love him.
No, well, that's what I was getting at this morning on Twitter, is that all these characteristics that everybody else is afraid of.
No, that's what they look for.
That's what they want.
That's what they look for, yeah.
The issue with the young guys right now has been there was no alpha. The conversation
they
that
probably love Bobby Portis for punching Mirotic in the face.
I tell this all the time. Okay, first thing, Chris Bosh said on my podcast, which of the young guys is going to be the guy that, you know, that takes the reins on this, okay? Dwayne's not here anymore. That was his quote.
He said Justice, didn't he?
Well, he said one of them has to, right? Justice is the guy. Justice is the alpha of those guys. It was not Josh. But the other thing about it, look, I tell this. Riley told this story. He was doing an event at the stadium, and it was supposed to be with Shula, and Shula couldn't go because he was ill that day. But Riley told the story about the Knicks and telling the marketing department that the marketing department came to him when he first got to the Knicks, maybe it was the second year, and with kind of this whole program and kind of, you know, it was very positive, sunny marketing program, right? Okay, sort of like Heat culture. And so it was a sunny.
Easy.
And so.
No low blows here.
Right. And so Riley basically drew the way he tells the story, and I never know with Pat because everything's a little bit embellished, and he tells the same story about getting lost in the women's bathroom every time.
I got a story about Pat when you're done with this.
Well, we could go a lot longer than 30 minutes.
A recent one.
But he tells a story about drawing a chalk outline because this was the Oakley Ewing, you know, Mason team. This is our marketing campaign, okay? So this idea that, like, they wouldn't like Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook throwing basketballs at each other in practice.
Dream scenario.
Correct.
I mean, Pat fought Shaq.
Pat didn't want Zoe and Patrick, okay, best, like, not just, like, blood brothers.
They doesn't let people, like, pick them up.
Right, he was finding
guys. So here's my quick story. So I had Tyler Hero on the ESPN West Palm show this past week. And the first thing I said to him, right off the bat, I said, have you read Riley's book? Because in the video,
right,
he said, well, Pat never gave it to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they show him giving the book, and then Tyler Hero, then I guess Pat took it back.
Right.
I said, well, don't you have to buy the book now? And he hasn't bought the book. So now I'm nervous for
$7
this kid.
$7 on Amazon.
I'm nervous for this kid. So, okay, let's go through this very quickly on the Russ. So let's assume two things. You have to give up one of the two young players, and you have to loosen the protections.
Right.
So let's say that the 2021 pick, if I'm not mistaken, the 2023, whichever one it is.
Right.
I have it written down somewhere.
I know. It's been traded 17 times. Right. That's the most orphan draft pick in NBA history.
2023 Miami first.
You have all this written down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got a legal pad. Yeah, all right.
I still prep for shows.
I never did. It's okay.
Okay. So let's say it's unprotect that. Everything, all the protection's gone. Then you put Justice, you put Gorin. So now, and let's say you probably need one more contract. Let's say Myers Leonard, because it's expired.
Right. Okay.
Okay, do you do it?
Yes. To me, Bam is the line of demarcation.
Right, I know. So
if you're not keeping Gorin long term anyway, does Oklahoma City do it? I mean, let's check. That would be the only question to me, is does somebody else jump into the picture? But to me, this is Bam or bust, okay? You have isolated Bam as the player you don't want to give up for anybody. It just came out, I think Woj reported that with Minnesota last year, that was the thing. They wanted Bam and Josh. If you're not giving up Bam, to me, the rest of it... And I'm not a huge fan of certain things that Westbrook does on the court. I have this faith in the Heat organization when they get these kind of ultra-competitive players. They will find a way to mold that. All right?
I agree.
And I go back to 06, okay? I mean, you go back further. When Zoe came... You're never going to have him on the floor because he's going to get too many technicals, right? Couldn't control himself, going to get in fights. And this was during an era when that was encouraged.
Right.
Okay?
Well, think about 06. Do you think anybody thought Antoine Walker was going to be there?
No.
Gary Payton is a backup.
I wrote a column saying they were the worst trades the Heat had ever made, okay?
The
and then they had a parade.
Team one? Yeah.
Yes, okay? That Jason Williams. They'll never be able to control Jason Williams. Then they were trying to tell Jason.
He was a perfect angel.
He was not a Jason perfect. He was too much of an angel. They were trying to get him to push the ball at the floor. The only time he did was that game against Detroit where he closed them out.
God.
Okay, look.
That was one of the greatest. That, what he started, 8-for-9. From the floor?
He was tremendous, and it was like, oh my God, there's Jay Will from Sacramento. Where the hell did that guy go? So, look, I don't worry. People talk about attitude. There's a certain attitude that they want. All right, they want that edge. And this organization, look, Dwayne embodied some of it because there was this sort of – Dwayne was always trying to prove something to somebody.
Right.
You know, fall down 7 or fall down 8, get up 9, whatever it was. Okay, my belief is stronger than your doubt. But with Dwayne, you know, any sort of that negativity was manufactured because it's not Dwayne's persona. Jimmy's different. Russ is different.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? They're driven by something different in that regard. I think the Heat would get behind being hated again.
Oh, God.
Right? I think the fans would get behind being hated because for those big three teams being hated, why was Chris Bosh hated? Why was James Jones hated? Why was Mike Miller hated? Why was Shane Battier hated? Well, no, but I'm a JJ fan. But like,
did he need to go to Cleveland?
How many nice guys? Well, Mike did too. How many nice guys?
Again, nice guy. Did he need to go to Cleveland?
How many nice guys were there?
No,
in
you
that
can't
locker
ignore
room?
That. I'm going to still be the Heat fan for all of the people listening right now.
Mike and JJ took care of me that year I was stuck in Cleveland. No Mike or JJ slander is allowed. And Mike was sent out of town, so that was not his choice.
Oh, wait,
we're going to do that with the amnesty clause. Why did anybody hate that team? There was nobody hateable on that team.
I agree, but we know the reasons. We know the reasons.
It was Bron, but okay. So, how do you hate a team with Chris Bosh on it?
Well, I love Chris Bosh.
Right.
I mean, he's remarkable. So here's my statement. I guess my closing statement.
Okay.
There is no doubt whatsoever that as individual players and people, I'm factoring in both now, Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook literally embody everything that Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and their team are looking for. Like, everything about them.
I can already see the warm-up video.
Right. They're just going to be, like, not even the illusion of fire, literally standing in fire getting burnt to a crisp. And saying, okay, what's next?
Right?
Or who's next? Everything about them fit what the Heat have and what the Heat have done forever. The question is, do the Heat have enough to give Oklahoma City without giving up too much.
Without giving up Bam.
Without giving up too much. And I'm going to put Justice in there, but yes, without giving up too much.
You're going to have to give up Justice.
Does Washington now change their entire approach, knowing that they have an asset in Bradley Beal that may be more valuable than Paul George, and just taking on John Wall may not be enough?
Right. That's the question. But, to me, there's no team in the league right now that has more than two healthy superstars. You can talk about Mike Conley being a really good player.
Healthy.
He's not a superstar. You can talk about Golden State situation. Klay's not healthy. You can talk about Brooklyn. Kevin Durant's not healthy. There's no team in the league right now that has more than two healthy superstars. If you go get yourself a second, you go get yourself a Beal, you go get a Westbrook, and then you say, we're going to put him with this coach, in this program, with this training staff, with our history. If everybody's equal, we'll take our chances.
I agree.
And that's the organization that I'm used to covering and the organization they got away from for 2 years. And I feel like, and this is a column I wrote the other day, it's like, Pat, you got one more in you. All right, this is it. This is like the
That's it.
And then he leaves it. And you know what happens in 3-4 years when John Wall's body breaks or Russell Westbrook? Okay, is 33 years old,
how
shooting 22% from three.
I agree. How could it be worse than the last 2 years?
Agreed. They have always been one thing under Riley that they were not the past 2 years. Okay, there's only a couple years that are exceptions to this. You look at 2001, 2002, 2002, 2003. But at least they got Karan that second year they were building.
Shout out to Anthony Carter.
Shout out to AC. Now on the staff.
Right,
Bill Duffy. Again, and he comes back in with the whole Goran Dragic thing. Why Cuban went after Goran Dragic's agent, or the client of when he's got Doncic for the next how many years? I'm sure the Heat will bring that up when free agency comes about in 3 years. But the thing the Heat have always been is relevant. And they haven't been relevant the past 2 years. And none of the other teams in South Florida are relevant right now. You go get yourself a superstar. Josh Rosen could go throw balls at the park. Nobody's going to give a shit, okay? And to me, that's...
Depends what park. In Palm Beach County, we'll appreciate him.
Well, yeah, you need something
up there. Saturday morning, Josh.
All right, that's Evan Cohen. Find him on 17 different stations. Hope you heard the podcast. We're here in the bowels of the arena. I'll talk to you more this week.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.